Welcome to the Hockey Guys, the best college hockey radio show in the nation. Listen to our lineup we have. Mitch Vig, the hero of Bismarck, the national championship from the University of North Dakota. We have Jeff Bowen, former player and coach, national championship at each. And then in the third period, we have University of Wisconsin head coach, Mike Hastings. We got Doc Johnson. We got Coach Wills. We got Crazy Eddie. And I'm just the wise one, Jeff Bradall. Mitch Vig.
Hold on. Cheers. Hey.
Hold it. We can break.
Cheers.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Hey, Mitch, you got one? You got a crank one.
Hams to you.
Crank one here. Mitch.
Hey, quick story on Mr. Vig. So on Thursday night, went and had a...
Yeah, you can interrupt me. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Went and had a thin slice pizza at the lodge. I happened to ask the staff if Mr. Vig was in the house. They said, I've worked here for 10 years. I don't know what he would look like.
You got to go there and fire someone, Mitch.
That could be true.
God, I'm going to start calling you Jim Pullman, man. You never show up to work.
Eddie knows that's not true because him and I have
crawled out of there a few nights. Say, Mitch, this is the question I'm going to ask Jeff Bowen and Coach Mike Hastings. What is it? It's not always the best teams that win at this time of the season. It's remarkable, right? But what is the secret sauce? What does it take to win a national championship?
I don't know. It takes a lot of luck, to be honest. And in these one and done type formats with so many good teams, you got to have a lot of things to go your way. So, you know, we certainly had that in 97 and went on a nice run at the end. And the next year, arguably probably maybe had a better team and it didn't happen for us. So, it's special just to make it this far. You know, people need to realize that and literally in Vegas, you know, those teams will be laying all their chips on the table and trying to win that prize.
Hey, Mitch Wilson here. Good to hear your voice. I'd like to stay focused on this, but I got to do another one. A question I asked you because this has been driving me nuts. I have no credibility when people ask me, Wilson, what you do there? But here's my question for you. You know, you got Max, Charlie, and probably the best player of the three is Macy, but, you know, with 16-year-old girls. But here's my question. I have people come up to me, I'm going to get an agent. And I go, you think I didn't know about Mike Peluso, Tom Fillion, blah, 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 the cream rises to the top. My question, you kind of been there, done it. Your children are growing up out there a little bit. What path would you give advice to parents if you got elite athletes of your own children?
I think, first of all, they're all different, right? So everybody's situation is different and every family has to make their own decisions. So, you know, going through it when my kids were little, it was, you know, it's just a different landscape than when I was growing up. So I leaned on a lot of people smarter than me and former coaches like Kerry Eads and guys like that to ask these questions. And they were super helpful for me. And you just got to kind of take your information and make decisions as a family. And the decisions our family made, maybe isn't right for others, but he's got to make them and stick with it. But yeah, from the advisor standpoint, you know, I heard a lot of different things from different people and we kind of held off on that till the boys were a little bit older and needed some guidance in that area.
Doc, you're up.
Thanks, Mitch.
You know, I mean, speaking about the chemistry and things with teams, and I think Mitch is right. I mean, you've got to have a certain amount of luck sometimes in these national championship games, but you create your own ability to capitalize on that luck, you know, and I think the really good teams, you know, will do that. What I have found with all these teams, whether they're gold medal or not, is that it's not always the talent that wins you the championships. It's the guys next to you. They have that tendency to want to play. They don't want to let the guy next to them down. They want to play for that other guy. And sometimes, you know, we didn't have all the talent in the world. You know, Canada would just go flying by us. But we had these grinders. We had these guys that would go into the tough areas, do the tough things and the little things, And it's amazing how those teams are the ones that are most successful. What's your thought about that, Mitch? I mean, I've seen it over and over and over. You know, the most talented teams don't win.
Yeah, that's 100% right. It's kind of cliche, but the chemistry in the locker room is just as important as the chemistry on the ice. So, number one, and number two is everybody's got a role, right? We can't all be the 25 goal scorer. So, it's having a role, knowing your role, and then buying into that role. And once you have that, it's a beautiful thing. And like you said, then everybody goes and you work for not for yourself, but you work for each other for a greater good. So it's super important.
Say, Mitch, the clock is going down. 3, 2, 1. University of North Dakota, you just won a national championship. Walk us through those emotions and what you visualized and how you felt.
Well, it's 30 years ago now. So it was Milwaukee at the Bradley Center, and it was kind of surreal, right? We were picked to finish somewhere in the middle of the WCHA that year after, I think, back-to-back seasons of right around 500, Coach Blaze's first 2 years. And then towards the middle of that season in 97, we just found something and went on a really good run. But it wasn't all duckies and bunnies. I mean, we went out to Denver. I remember the last series of the WCHA. We needed 1 point to win the McNaughton Cup outright from Minnesota and end up getting swept pretty badly. And then went on a 7-game run after that. So, at the Bradley Center was awesome. Of course, it's not there anymore. But when that clock is running down, it's it was a tight game pretty much all the way through. So, it was really surreal and just an awesome moment and awesome memory.
What about the locker room afterwards? You have to have some stories there. Well, at least ones you can tell us, right?
It's like Vegas.
Yeah. What's happened in Vegas stays there now. Okay.
From a guy who's been divorced a couple of times in life, Mitch, so be careful of your advisors.
Yeah, I think it was an afternoon. It was Easter weekend back then, an afternoon game. We flew back to Grand Forks that night, but had us back to the hotel. Of course, a lot of the boosters and fans were there, and we kind of broke off as a team and had a meal and maybe a few other things and had a good time and behaved ourselves on the flight home and then had a good time that night when we got back in Grand Forks.
Oh, I bet you did. If you were to sum it up in one word, Mitch, not just one word. Sum it up, winning the national championship, lifting that national championship trophy as a University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux hockey player. 1997.
That's correct. I don't know. Privilege, I guess. It was a privilege to be part of that team.
That's awesome. Mitch, I'll tell you what, thank you for joining us this morning. We had to get you on. You're the legend. You're the hero of Bismarck. And I'll tell you what, you're one of a lot of UND fans' favorite players of all time, Mitch Vig. Thank you for joining the hockey guys, us knuckleheads, this morning.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoy listening to the podcast.
Hey, thank you very much.
Wow, yeah. Like another great guest here on the hockey guys. So I'll make sure I keep stopping in at the lodge when I'm rolling through. And it was kind of a little fun on Thursday evening. We appreciate our sponsor, Ham's Beer, through Beverage Wholesalers. Ham's is still brewed in that true family tradition, using the purest water and choicest barley, grain, and hops. We also appreciate the Fargo Force, Dakota Refrigeration, and Carpet World for being here on the Hockey Guys. So, hey, Jeff, nice shirt.
Hey.
It's not a Cowboy Up shirt this week, so Ham's.
It's my Ham's shirt. I'm getting ready for the pregame party.
So we will be back, I believe, with Jeff Bowen coming up here on the Hockey Guys.
Thank you, Michael. Welcome back. We have the absolute pleasure to visit with former University of North Dakota hockey player Jeff Bowen and a former assistant coach. In both roles, won a national championship. Do you believe that? Jeff Bowen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
Hey, I asked Mitch Vig, and he said he was on right before you, and he said to say hello to you. And I asked Mitch this question. I'm going to ask you the exact same question. What is the secret sauce when you were the player and when you were the assistant coach? What is the secret sauce to get over the hump to win the national championship?
Well, that's a good question. I think that Gino and Dean Blaze and Hack and Bubs and now Jax have that formula, and it's a brand of hockey that they've preached for a long time. I think I was actually talking to Gino yesterday about some of our past teams, and it's about getting the right character guys on board. It's about having strong leadership. It's about having the attitude to raise your level of play and having the belief and confidence in your teammates. And I think it was very evident last week against Quinnipiac that, you know, the Fighting Sioux team right now has got that old grit and hard nose. They play extremely fast and an exciting brand of hockey that lends itself to success during the toughest time of the year, which is right now, which is one and done games.
Doc.
I think it just comes down to two words. And I think Bowie, you would probably agree. It's Sioux pride.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Phil. And you know, you look at how this team is built, and you got to first off say kudos to Jax and Dane and Smaby and Dylan and Chizik and Phil Lamoureux there helping the goaltenders. Is, you know, only 12 months ago they had McLaughlin and Perron and Beauvais leave, and the critical early pieces was Dane talking to Jake Livanovich and Dylan James to stay, and there would have been a mass exodus other than that, and then they got to work and brought in those other guys, you know, the Jack Kernans of the world, the Sioux pride you talk about, Phil. Look at that kid. A year ago, he didn't even have a place. He decommitted from Mankato State, and him and Young and Cody Kroll scored three goals against Quinnipiac. We have great quality depth, and obviously It all starts in goal with Spoonar and the decor that we have.
Hey, Bowie, hey, Eddie here. Bowie Eddie here, and you threw something out here, and I think it's kind of fun. We come back to this once in a while. Character and characters, and I guarantee you this team has had a character incident, in other words, and that incident solidifies a team, right? I got your back. There's a lot of little maybe Sioux chat group that we have, and it's kind of funny that the consistent theme is back. When those championships are won, everybody knew that if something went down, everybody had your back, right? So I'm suggesting there's probably some things that have gone on that aren't in the press that brought this team together. So with that, Wils, go ahead.
Hey, Jeff Wilson here. My thing is that you hit it right on. I think the last couple of weeks, to me, the wow factor has been goaltending. I mean, you play well defensively, and it's everybody, you know, forwards, D. But I just think that I'm watching these goalies, like you talk about UND's goal. I go, it's the wow factor. They're stepping up to the plate big time.
Yeah, Dean, I agree with you and Eddie. You know, getting back, there's five guys that got to play in front of Spoonar, and they're led by a kid from Fargo, the captain, Strinden, and what a year he's had. He's had 15 goals, and we're like the top four or five in goal scoring. But the more impressive thing is Ole Josephson, third line center, goes down and Kernan comes in and solidifies that role. And then you take a look at, you got Livanovich, Wiebe, Emery, Zmolek, Viroff. I mean, and the boy from Moorhead there, Larilla, and Zmolek had the last 3 years only played, you know, he had two, I think, hip surgeries, and they do love each other. They play hard for each other. It's very evident. They're a fun team to go and watch. They, as Eddie said, they probably had a few off-ice things that have brought them together. But
Jeff, that never happened when we played. I'll guarantee you that never happened, right?
No, we
that's a, that, you know, that, we I'm being sarcastic, right?
Poetry.
Reading poetry.
Yeah,
hey, I've got Jeff, I got one take on this. I want your opinion. That I had a question asked me last week. They said, you know, look at this. You've got you've had, what is it, four or five instances where there's been a coaching change and the first year coach goes out and wins the national championship. And they go, how does that happen? And I looked at it from 30,000 feet and I went, you know, I think that's just a testament to the continuity of the program at the University of North Dakota. It doesn't matter sometimes who the head man is behind the bench. It's that quality of players. It's that institutional pride that these guys come in knowing that that's what it's all about, and they continue to excel. And I think it just goes it's just a real kudo to the program that there's that continuity that's laid there and it is expected when you show up on campus.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 180%. I mean, you look at, I go back to, you know, just history and Gino, you know, in the late 70s, turned the whole program around and won two national championships. And I still live by, and probably Eddie does too, what we call the Sioux Bible. And it's the attributes of how to conduct yourself while you're playing on the ice and then also away from the rink. And I don't think it's a shocking surprise that through Blazer and Hack and even Bubs in Dane Jackson now has carried that flame. And we have such a strong, rich history and tradition. And for him to be able to go up in Western Canada and take and pick off two or three of the best players or first-round draft picks in Reschny and Verhoef, I mean, that's not easy. And him restructuring even and putting Chizik on the road and being the head scouting, that is a big kind of change in the newer college hockey scene, with averages of 10 to 12 guys turnover like USHL has every year. And that's very, very difficult to prepare for. But I think the map, the general, like Gino, he had certain attributes in guys that he wanted. And I know this year even they had a few guys that were really high-end guys that they didn't take because they wanted specifically to fit different guys to different roles, and they knew that they were going to excel. But the bottom line is that rich tradition and the history of the program, along with, you don't go anywhere with poor leadership, and the leadership we have intact right now is fabulous.
And I agree. I mean, as a former coach, I love listening to interviews, and you can feel it, saying the right things and not told what to say. It's coming from the heart and deep about, you know, fighting Sioux pride, you know, and you can just feel it. I love listening to those guys. And you talked about the death and Spooner giggling, laughing. You could tell these teammates care about each other.
They really do. And I've been a really fortunate, because I'm back connected to all the way back to Guinea Christian and you know, the guys in the 70s and 80s. And I still talk to, in fact, I'm going to be out in Vegas with Chadwick and Mark Chorney and those guys that had great success. And they all are saying the same thing is I'm on a chat with the 1980 team with Darren Jensen and Kerry Eads and that whole group, Doug Smale. And it's just fabulous to stand and be a cheerleader listening to those guys. And Howard Walker's on there, and just a lot of guys that, you know, were teammates of Eddie. You know, it's just a blessing to be. What's so cool about it, it is truly not a BS. It's the next man up mentality. And their mentality is gotten back to the hard nose, straight ahead, play extremely fast, north-south, in gritty type of hockey. And I think the last interview Ben Strinden did kind of capsulized it all, Dean, is he just said, we really have fun together, not only playing, but we have fun off the ice together. And you can see that bond is something special. And not every team the last 100 years at North Dakota's had that, but the special teams that do well at this time of the year have that special, unique bond.
Well, Jeff Bowen, tell you what, they were going to rename East Grand Forks Bowenville after your legendary playing days and coaching career and professional career. Jeff, thank you for joining us this morning.
Bowen, take care,
bud. We greatly appreciate
it. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you guys very much.
We'll be back here on the Hockey Guys, and we'll have Coach Mike Hastings on, University of Wisconsin, formerly Mankato State. We appreciate Citywide Electric, experience you can trust for design, repair, and installation of any home or business electrical project. That's citywideelectricnd.com, and we'll be back here on the Hockey Guys.
Ouch!
We're not on until 36.
Welcome back to the Hockey Guys. Coach Mike Hastings, that was after North Dakota beat the Minnesota Gophers. I got that nasty call. So that explains that. Welcome back to the Hockey Guys.
Thanks, guys. Hope you guys are doing well. I hear it's snowing there a little bit. So
yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
A little snow, you, 8 inches.
Yeah, you know what, guys? I will tell you that's probably one of the few things that I miss about that neck of the woods. I don't miss all the snow. We've got it all off the ground now. We're more rain, but stay safe.
We're visiting with Mike Hastings, head coach, University of Wisconsin Badgers. I had asked Mitch Vig, who you know, along with Jeff Bowen, who were our two prior guests, this question. What is the secret sauce to win a national championship? Because a, quote, good team doesn't do it. There's something more. There's something else. What is that secret sauce, Coach?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't won one yet. So I can tell you that I'm getting my information from probably the same people you guys are, guys that have experienced it. And you know, I talked to Blazer quite about that when I was working with him. And then talked to some of the players that had played for Blazer and asked them about it, because there's two different perspectives, I think, from the coach's side and the player's side. One, you've got to be good enough. You've got to have enough talent, but you've got to have, I think, the buy-in's got to be from top to bottom. You can't have anybody with one foot in and one foot out. And then I'm going to say this going back to junior hockey. It wasn't at the NCAA level, but to win a national championship at the junior level, we had gotten to the dance a couple of times and gotten to the championship game and couldn't find a way to do it. I'm going to say this, one, good enough. You got to buy in, and sometimes you need a bounce. You need something good to happen at the most important time for you to get to overtime or get that next goal. And, it takes, they're the one reason it's so hard and they're so special that those teams and those staffs get to remember that forever, is it's hard to do. And I think if we could go to the grocery store and pick up that bottle of secret sauce, it'd be a long line.
Doc, Phil Johnson has two questions for you, Coach.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for coming on. I know it's a busy time for you, but I know the listeners at Crookston really appreciate hearing your voice and hearing your expertise. But I've got two questions. The first one is, you know, we talk about this long layover that's 2 weeks. What is it that you need to do with the guys? Is it, because it's not really science, it's more of an art. What do you do to keep their focus, keep their intensity, so that they're ready to go out of the chute when you get into Vegas here in a week?
It's a great question. I wish I'd tell you we've gone through this because we've been in a boatload of frozen fours. We've experienced this because we've stubbed our toe at times during the playoffs where we've had extended layoffs. And so, you know what? I think it's different for everybody, and it's to each his own, but I will tell you that time is such a long time in the clock of a hockey player. 2 weeks is forever. They're you know, they focus on their dailies. They do one thing, they get to the next. Well, doing that for 12, 13 days gets them out of their rhythm. And so breaking it up a little bit, I'll tell you what we did. We got done with the regional. We got back real late Sunday morning, or I should say early Sunday morning. So it was around 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Took Sunday, Monday off. And then that intensity that you want to ramp up to, I don't think you can start too early there. So, you know, we had some fun on the rink. And what I mean by that is we had a skills day in there with some pace. And then we gave them a day where they went out and they really enjoy that because none of us are on the ice. And so they go out and have some fun. And then we amped it up for a day, took a day off yesterday. Now, I will tell you today, we'll start feeding them a little bit of a time on what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be focused on here over the next 7 days. So it's a little bit of a balancing act, but I think if you go to the WHIP too early or if you get them focused on that too early, it's about getting them grounded again and focusing on what's going to be in front of us, but making sure you don't go too early.
That's great insight. My second question is, and this is a little bit, different, but, we had Mike Schmidt on a couple different times, and I'm not knocking the officiating. I think the officiating's been great during the tournament. But, he brought up a concept that maybe it's time to make the officiating here in college hockey under one roof. So you don't have one conference level officials doing another conference and things because of the mismatch on how they call the games. What do you think about trying to get the officials all under one umbrella to make it a more uniform way that they call the game as opposed to, oh, that's the East Coast officials, they call it this way, or the guys out West, they're going to let them be more physical? What's your thought on that?
100%. Like, I don't think of – I try to go to another sport, and you look at it, and I get the leagues, I get the conferences, and I'm going to say this. This isn't – this – topic wasn't just cracked up today. This just didn't get brought up. Don Lucia, when he was the commissioner and still is of the CCHA, and when I was at MSU, this has been a topic. We've just got to get it done. We've been dragging our feet. I understand when there's contraction of jobs because you've got a lot of commissioners right now or a lot of referee and chiefs for each league. Well, it's when they're all looking at each other and they know somebody's not going to be sitting at that table. If we go to that, that's hard to get momentum for. So for the betterment of the game, I do think that's something we've been talking about for a while. We've just got to really get our rears going in the right direction so that we can get that done. It just makes too much sense. It really does, because there is a difference between how games are called in different leagues.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Coach Eddie here, and I happen to follow you and see that you're taking a bus trip to Vegas, and I thought that's a really good strategy. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's a great strategy because you understand there, because there's a lot of team bonding that happens on a 3-day road trip. So got to believe that's, and there's a lot of into, you're going to watch a couple of games in some USAL ranks as well, as I got to believe in that. But here's what I want to throw at you. You started your career underneath some amazing mentors, and you're in an amazing mentor position at Wisconsin. And with all of the changes, Minnesota, now St. Cloud, when you have the players and you're watching players and you're watching teams that lose, immediately the next day you're watching sophomores, juniors, your league has changed to older. And again, everything happens. So now you're sitting here. It's got to be kind of an interesting dynamic to have 2 weeks before you play. Now next week you play. But the whole thing back, we've been asking, and we had this question back in the 80s and 90s, when you won, you were a team still. In today's world, after a game, that team may never be together again. Guys are getting on a plane and flying, and the next game they play is in a different league. Just kind of explain to me how you manage all of that so-called distraction chaos.
Yeah, it's been new, Eddie, and it's good to talk to you again. I hope everything's going well with you and your fam. And it just, guys, it has taken a little bit of the joy that we all experienced of putting together a career of 2 or 3 or 4 years at a university and being together with those guys, and 5, 10, 15 years later, getting together at an alumni golf outing and seeing how everybody's doing. We've got people in our business now where there's guys at 2, 3, 4 schools in a 4-year window. They'd be pretty busy at trying to get all 4 of those alumni golf.
no doubt.
Right? So, It's you compartmentalize a little bit of your day. And I'll put it to you this way, and I'll open the book for you a little bit on my own experience here at Wisconsin. We knew there were a couple of guys that were out, or were definitely thinking that they were out, as we were making our journey to a regional out to play Quinnipiac. And, okay, how do you manage that? Well, back in the day, fellas, I know how Blazer would have managed it.
Yeah, pack your crap and leave.
Yeah, don't let your door hit your ass on the way out. Get out of here. and it's different. Like, I've had people ask me about that, and it's, you know, trying to get to open and honest conversations with young people and having them know that you might be disappointed as a coach that they're deciding to go elsewhere, but in this day and age, it's an opportunity for them. And, you know, we've got a 26-man roster and 21 guys are playing. And you distribute those minutes up, you distribute the opportunities, and it's a lot more communication, which I don't think is a bad thing. But I will tell you the thing that just rattles you a little bit as a coach is some of the reasons we're where we're at today is because we've gone through adversity. And we've been toughened up by this world, sometimes by people, more often by experiences. And we fought through them to get through them. And now it's easy when struggles start. Where are you going? You know, you don't want to. I just still believe there's a big fight there that you have to stick with it and communicate with the guys. And it's part of your everyday. It's not part of, hey, at the beginning of the year or the end of the year. It's about trying to build those relationships so you can talk about the good and the bad in between.
Mike, this is Wilson. I just want to say good luck. We're short on time. You know, good luck. John Bittner said he taught you everything from Crookston, so I just want to throw that out. But
hey, good luck. Appreciate you coming on and with all the chaos you have going on, Coach.
No, you guys are awesome. Keep pushing it. Tell Bits I appreciate all the direction.
I will. Coach Mike Hastings, University of Wisconsin. We'll be back right after this. The best college hockey radio show in the nation, the hockey guys, Dr. Phil Johnson, Crazy Eddie, Coach Wills, and I'm the wise one. Eddie, we need to thank someone that we didn't thank last period.
Including Aberdeen, South Dakota, also under snow. Gateway Chevy. This last period, we had a little bit of, we let Mr. Hastings talk because it was a pretty awesome interview that he just gave us. So Gateway Chevrolet, where you can save big on a Chevy Silverado, Equinox, or Blazer. All of those vehicles, four-wheel drive, would be a good thing to have in the world we're seeing today. So go online at FargoChevrolet.com and go get your four-wheel drive to get out of the weekend.
And I'm just going to say this. People in Fargo, Moorhead, stay home. Let the plows catch up. It was crazy driving here. I mean, it's thick, it's deep, heavy snow, so be safe. Stay home till the plows catch up. Good job for our city workers.
And Christian and Brooks, learn how to shovel snow. You might make it in life. If you don't want to be a snow shoveler, good luck trying to have Dean Blaze paying attention to you. Right, Jeff?
All right, guys, here's a scoop. You look at the University of North Dakota hockey team versus Wisconsin.
That's an old-time rivalry.
Oh, and the respect between those two programs is immense, isn't it? Just the respect.
82, Wisconsin-North Dakota's in the news.
Because except for when they squirt water on the UND players.
They're in the news because those two teams had the most games ever played in the NHL between two teams.
Players.
You're talking Chris Chelios, number one, James Patrick.
Dave Tippett.
There's a long list of names.
Rick Zombo.
I used to laugh every time I'd work hockey school with Kerry Eads. We had to watch that video with Wisconsin and UND. That's part. I go, what's this got to do with Stick Alley? Shut up, Wilson. Cue it up.
I'm going to be cautious here, but there may be some water bottle incidents in Las Vegas on Thursday afternoon because I have to believe there's some players that are going. And they're going to make sure the Wisconsin players there might get wet.
Too soon?
Third period when you're up by a couple goals. That would be absolutely fantastic, wouldn't it? That was this time a Wisconsin player skating into a North Dakota box.
When you
see
take
if they
look,
got the balls to do that,
when,
right?
When you take a look at this, right? Like this thing.
Sorry,
this.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but when you take a look at this, when you go back, and let's go back, Jeff, because we've been there, but 82, right? When you talk about character and characters, we had a trainer that wanted to be on the ice that didn't know how to skate in A.G. Edwards, right? Like, he was something that nobody understood or saw, but it's not just the players, it's not just the coaches, but it's everything around the program.
Well, I'm going to go back, Ed, to this. Doc, Wills, Eddie. Number one, I think North Dakota probably has the best defensive core in the nation, the depth of what they have. Okay? Number two, I think North Dakota is going to have the Mike Richter Award winner for the top goalie in college hockey with Spoonar in net. And when North Dakota plays with speed, like we seen last weekend, no one can play with that speed and the transition of the puck. Now, the question comes, you got to have puck luck, number one. Number two, everybody has to play their role, and they have to play with speed, the transition. They need to be better against Wisconsin than they were last weekend. And if they get by Wisconsin, they need to be better either against, well, check out the other game, Denver versus Michigan, whoever the winner of that game is. They need to be better the next game. Doc, what do you think?
Okay, two things. I think it's going to be just an awesome Frozen Four, not because of who's in it, but just it's just that time of year. I love
100%.
But it will be interesting to see who comes out and elevates their game, because somebody always does, and that's what you need to do at this time of year. You've got to get better each game. That's how you win those championships. People are getting better and contributing more. So I think that's going to be real interesting. Now, just one question here before we run out of time, because as we woke up today, the landscape in college sports looks as though it's changed significantly. And I say that because there's an executive order that was signed yesterday.
I saw that.
That prohibits you from transferring just one time.
Some common sense.
That it was. Exactly. And so I think what Mike Hastings was talking about has come back full circle. Now it's going to be like, okay, you don't have that guy walking out the door because he's going to transfer out. They can only transfer one time. And I think that's an awesome thing. I really do. I think, you know, the chief executive of the country has figured out that this is out of control and we need to rein it in a little bit. And I think this is a good first step.
I agree. You know, you sit out twice, you go twice, you got to sit out a year to detour that from them doing this. So I agree. Getting back to the final four, I just think no Cinderella. Those are the four top teams, great coaches. It's going to be crazy good. I keep bringing this up, Dr. Phil. What's really wowed me is goaltending. I mean, it's been another level of making saves. Like, how in the heck did he get that one?
From the team's left, goaltending. It's not just North Dakota.
Exactly. And you know, Dean, goalies are special people.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Well, well, there's lots of terms around special. I got called special ed by my sister Debbie. I said I am, and I never got called special ed again. So you are special, Doc.
No, it's a different person and that different mindset. But, you know, the Spooninator, you know, he's been on fire. I hope he keeps going with it. You know, obviously we're UND guys, but it's going to be fun games to watch.
Predictions. We need to get through to predictions.
We're going to have an NCHC final, and I think it's going to be North Dakota winning his championship. I think this team is special with the players and the depth they have. When you have third and fourth line players leading the team in scoring last weekend, that is the recipe. And goaltending, that's it.
Hey,
Eddie,
Doc,
go.
Doc, what's yours?
Quickly, Doc.
Got to go quick.
I agree. NCHC final.
Well, I'll mix it up since Jeff don't buy breakfast. Michigan UND wins it.
And I'm going to say NCHC final, and the D will be involved in either ND or Denver. Both of them have a D, so one of those two teams will win the championship.
Well, listen, we had a fantastic show today, another great edition of the Hockey Guys, and we're going to be back next week. As we continue our talk about the national tournament, and thank you for joining the Hockey Guys today.
And we've been talking about officiating, and I would agree. I think it's setting up to have the officials not be a part, because none of the regional games that I watched had any – nobody's talking about the officiating. Nobody's talking about the refs.
Have another beer, Eddie.
No.
Cut them off, Wills.
I don't think the refs have been part of the equation. So I think the world of college hockey – if they are or aren't trying to press, and we heard it from Mr. Hastings.
When there's six officials on the ice right now, they better get it right, correct?
Yeah, the game's getting faster and the refs are getting slower.
Plus 15 cameras.
So in the grand scheme of things, I think things are setting up to be pretty good. And again, we were looking for Schmitty to come in and cut us off, but it looks like Schmitty's already in Vegas, and he's probably going out in the world. So we'll be back next week here on the Hockey Guys.